Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Let's get into the Word, hey? Yes. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. King David. You're not King David. Your name is David. He's going like this. He says, one thing have I asked of the Lord. One thing that I seek after, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord for all my days, to gaze at the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. What's your one thing? What's that one thing that you seek after, that one thing you prioritize, that thing you desire, that thing that is all-consuming? What's that one thing? David says his desire is to dwell in the house of the Lord. He says that's what I seek after. That's what I go for. That's what captures his heart. In Psalm 23, verse 6, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord, his temple. These are dwelling places where God's presence would dwell. You and I know that today, because of what Jesus Christ has done, we get to be his dwelling place. Our bodies are temples of God. So when you hear the house of the Lord in the Word, you hear the temple, think about his presence, the presence of the Lord. All my days, it says, it's all consuming. He uses the word gaze. To gaze is to see, to look. He says to gaze at the beauty of the Lord. The New King James Version, even the King James Version says to behold his beauty. It's talking about seeing his beauty. People these days go, what? God is beautiful? What are you talking about? That's a worldly term. Why are we singing, behold, come and behold? He's beautiful. It's right there in the Word. He is beautiful. The world has turned the meaning of beautiful into other things, which may be true, but they're actually limited when it comes to God's beauty. He's talking about his goodness, his wonder, his kindness, his pleasantness. David says this is what he wants to do, to gaze at his beauty, to inquire of him in his temple. So what we're doing today here at Pneuma Church and in all Pneuma churches on this very day is we're introducing a new kingdom culture value. We have 8 kingdom culture values, but now we have 9. They're all up there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I've got my maths right. See, our new kingdom culture value is his presence is our priority. His presence is our priority. You think, yeah, what do you think we're here? What we're doing? That's what we're all about. It is what we're all about. But we want to put it at the forefront, because there's so many things that we can prioritize, so many things that compete for our attention. But when you look at those kingdom culture values, prayer fuels power is our first one, or one of the first ones. And the question that we ask is, have I prayed about it? With anything that we go through, prayer consumes all that we do as a house of prayer. But When we say prayer fuels power, what are we talking about? That power is His presence. When we pray, we're engaging in the presence of God. So praying without His presence or focusing on His presence is just an empty conversation. God's word's our foundation. The question that we ask is, what does the Bible say about that? Any issue in life, what does the Bible say about that? But without His presence, which is actually the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit that gives us revelation, we're not going to get much from His word. We need His presence. Making disciples is not optional. It's one of the other kingdom culture values. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples. But we can't do it without Him. The question we ask is, who am I discipling? Who is discipling me? But Jesus knew that making disciples is not going to be easy. So right at the end of the Great Commission, He says, and behold, I am with you always. What's that? His presence. He says, I'll be with you. Miracles are normal. Miracles are normal. And the question that we ask is, am I seeing the supernatural in my day-to-day life? Am I experiencing that? But what miracles are going to take place without His presence being your priority? Church is covenant family. Am I growing in a sense of belonging? Where there is two or more gathered, Jesus says, I'll be there in their midst. It's His presence that brings us together and we grow in that sense of belonging. Freedom is a responsibility. It is for freedom that Jesus Christ has set us free. Without His presence, there'd be no freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So His presence is our priority. Any value you look at, the presence is right there. Honor affirms value. Honor affirms value. The question that we ask is, am I celebrating people for who they are and not stumbling over who they're not yet? Am I seeing people as God sees them? For us to see that, we have to be actually engaging with God's presence. Lord, show me what you see over this person. Just show me how you see them. We need His presence to be able to celebrate people rather than stumbling on their flaws. Anyone that doesn't have any flaws, put up your hands. We all need His presence. I think I've gone through all of them except for love gives generously. Love gives generously. And the question that we ask is, am I growing in generosity? See, the Bible tells us that God is love. God is love. For us to grow in generosity, we need to be a people of His presence. So those are our kingdom culture values, and there's a verse attached to every one of them. They're so important, and they're all based on the Word of God. But today we're talking about His presence is our priority. When we talk about His presence is a person. His presence is a person. That person is called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Jesus came through the Holy Spirit, as in Jesus coming onto earth. He was conceived through the Virgin Mary by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowered Him, endued Him, came upon Him, and empowered Him throughout His whole life, performing miracles, loving people, showing, demonstrating how we are to live. And then He died a painful death. He rose again. The Bible tells us that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. So the Holy Spirit and what Jesus did has now made the presence of God, His very presence, available to you and I today. His presence is a person. John 15:4-5, let's just quickly go there if you've got your Bibles. It's not going to come up on the screen. But we love John 15, talks about Jesus being the vine. Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide. To abide is to remain. To abide is to stay. Jesus says, I'm the vine. Abide in me. Remain in me. What are we attached to? What are we attached to? What are we abiding in? What fruit are we bearing? His presence is a person. Jesus said to his disciples, they didn't want him to leave the earth. But he said, it is to your advantage that I leave. Because I'm going to send you a helper. Who's going to be your counselor, your comforter? See, Jesus, if he had stayed on earth, we would not have access to him. Because he'd be limited by location. But he rose again. He ascended to be with the Father. And the promise was fulfilled. And anyone who's open to receiving the Holy Spirit through salvation has the very presence of God living in them. Are you aware? Am I aware? Are we aware of what we get to carry? The presence of God. He's a person. Imagine if I had a mate who's just walking around with me everywhere I go, and I'm just giving him nothing, just on about my own life. He's just following me. He's just available. Days goes, weeks, hours, and he's just there. The Holy Spirit is around us. We've said yes to Jesus. He's in us by his presence. But are we paying attention to him who is with us and promised to be with us? His presence is our priority. The question is, am I growing in awareness of his presence in my life? See, his presence is to be what distinguishes us. His presence is to be what distinguishes us. It is to be what makes us different. Are you different? People are like, oh, you're a little bit different. But is that because of his presence? Is it just because of your beautiful uniqueness? His presence is to be what distinguishes us. So his presence is to be our distinction. His presence is a person, but his presence is to be our distinction. I'm not talking about distinctions that you get at uni or grades. I'm talking about what is it that distinguishes us, what separates us, what makes God's people different. It is to be his presence. Let's go to Exodus 33. We're going to read all of Exodus this morning because God's word is our foundation. Not all of Exodus. Just 23 verses. See, there's a guy in Exodus 33 who loves God's presence. He prioritizes God's presence. We have so much that we can learn from this man called Moses. So Exodus 33. What's happening here is Moses, the prophet, Moses, the man who God used to deliver his people out of Egypt, that's it, out of slavery. They were in slavery for like 400 years. Moses gets them out. God parts the Red Sea and they go to the other side and now they're on their way to the promised land. But they just start to get comfortable. They start to complain. Moses loves God's presence so much. He's obedient. God calls him to the top of a mountain. He's there for 40 days or something, just hearing from God, praying. And the people get impatient. They've got all this silver and jewelry that they got from Egypt, they decided, man, we need to build a God for ourselves. Where's Moses? Where's God? And so they build a golden calf and they start to worship this thing. And then God sends Moses back down and God is infuriated. He is so angry that his people that he saved by his grace have already disobeyed. The very first thing he says, have no other gods before me. And that's the very thing they're doing. So he says to them, I'm still going to send you to the promised land. I'm still going to fulfill my promise, but I'm not going with you. So they've just messed up, and that we come in here. So verse 1 says, the Lord said to Moses, depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you, and I'll drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. So he's actually looking out for them by not wanting to go with them, because he's a consuming fire. He was not happy with them, but he's still sending them to the promised land. Verse 4 says, when the people heard this disastrous word, they mourned, and no one put on his ornaments, for the Lord had said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you. So now take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do with you. Therefore, the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Verse 7 says, now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. This was a place where God's presence would come and dwell. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Joshua loved the presence of the Lord. These people were experiencing the presence of the Lord. Moses prioritized the presence of the Lord. So then Moses starts to intercede for God's people. Verse 12, because God's saying, I'm not going with you. Moses said to the Lord, verse 12, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people. He's really having a go at God. He's really reminding him what he said and who these people are, as if God doesn't know. Verse 14, and he said, this is the Lord now speaking back to Moses. He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. God just changed his mind because of his intercession. The intercessor said, amen. He says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And he said to him, this is now Moses speaking back to God, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. We're talking about the promised land. Imagine, Moses is going, oh, I know about the promised land. I know how much these people want it. I want it too. But Lord, if you're not going to come with us, let's just stay here. He's choosing the right thing, which is God's presence. Verse 16, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? How will it be known? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct? There's that word, distinction. Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But he said, you cannot see my face, for a man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Exodus 33, there's so much in there. I'm not going to try to break it down in this few minutes, but go home, study it. Read Exodus. His presence is to be our distinction. The Lord was angry, but he was still going to send them to the promised land. Are we aware of his presence? See, Moses, in verses 12 to 16, we see that he wanted to know, he wanted to be aware of God's presence. He wanted the confidence, the comfort of knowing God was with him. Between verses 12 and 16, the verb to know is used about five times. Sometimes it's used by saying, show me. He's saying, I want to know. He says, how will I know that you're with me? How will I know that your favor is with me? You see that in a few times in these verses. Show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Verse 16, he says, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight? Moses wanted to know. He wanted to know who will go with us. Because God had said, I'm going to send an angel to go with you. But Moses like, I want to know who will go with us. And he tells him, this is your people. Your people, the people of your presence. Moses knew the power of God's presence. Once you know the power of God's presence, nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. And then God responds and says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. He says to him, my presence will go with you. Just think of the turmoil that Moses had been going through. The people have let God down. Plans are changing. God's not going with us. But then God says, my presence will go with you. He had been praying, pleading with God, and God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. That word rest, that just reminds me of Matthew 11, 28 to 30, where Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, heavy laden, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. See, in his presence, we find rest. In his presence, we are refreshed. We find peace. He says, I will give you rest. We know that the dove, when Jesus was being baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove, and it rested. It remained. He rests on us, but even him and resting on us, that's his presence. He gives us rest. So prioritizing his presence gives you rest. Prioritizing God's presence gives you rest. Prioritizing the other things wears you out. Prioritizing his presence gives you rest. But prioritizing other things wears you out. It doesn't mean we don't do other things. or prioritize them, it means we don't make them the main thing. Because when we make everything else the main thing, the one thing that is actually supposed to give us strength, direction, clarity, is misplaced. And then we get worn out, we get confused, we burn out. But actually we find rest in Him. And when we pray, He works. When we work, we work. But when we pray, He works. And then as we pray, He's doing the work, but we still work. Doesn't mean we're just going to pray 24/7 and do nothing. But when we make Him the main thing, the work that we do, the decisions that we make, the things we put our hands to, they're flowing out of our heart that loves and prioritizes His presence. And then we're presence-centered, we're Spirit-led. Everything flows out of our identity in God. His presence is to be our distinction. We see that in verse 16. He says, "For how shall it be known that I found favor in your sight, or in your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" We're to be different because of what we carry, His presence. This is what we carry. So think about what you carry makes a difference. If I'm carrying flowers, makes me a romantic. But if I'm carrying a gun, I could be a murderer. But you see what makes a difference between being a murderer and romantic is what I'm carrying. So what you carry makes a difference. It distinguishes us. His presence, the Holy Spirit that is in us, is what sets us apart. Not for us, but for Him. Is His presence evident in your life? Is God's presence His work? Is it evident in your life? Can people actually see that you are a child of God? Yes, it's between you and God. But Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." It's not just for us. People should actually be able to see, because God wants to work and works through vessels. He chooses to work through us, and therefore He gives us His Holy Spirit. Can people see that you are a person of the presence? Acts 4 verse 13 in the New Testament, it says Peter and John, talking about Peter and John and the work they were doing and how God was using them. 4:13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," people are seeing these guys are so bold, these guys are on fire, what is going on? It says, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished." They were looking at these blokes, they were just ordinary guys, but they were doing wonders. God was working through them. People had known these people. There was nothing special about them. It says, when people saw this, they were astonished, and they recognized that Jesus had been with them. They recognized it. Can people recognize that you've been with Jesus? Can they see that? Moses would spend time in God's presence, and he would have to come off the mountain, and he would have to wear a veil because his face was just glowing so much. People could not look at him because of God's presence. So Moses prioritized God's presence. Why did he prioritize God's presence? It's because he knew His presence was everything. He knew that apart from God, he could do nothing. So His presence is to be our distinction. His presence is to be our source. He's the creator. He's made His presence available. His presence is to be our source. What comes out of God's presence? In His presence is fullness of joy. "You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy and pleasures evermore. At your right hand, in His presence is fullness of joy." What comes out of God being our source? Freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We don't have to be bound by traditions and laws, legalism, do this, do that. God is love. And we get to walk in righteousness. We got to walk righteously, doing what is right, not because we're bound to the law, but because we have His presence. He has set us free. And out of His love, we can actually walk righteously. Righteousness, peace, joy, they're all fruits of the Holy Spirit. Gentleness, wisdom, godliness, the fruits of the Spirit. He's our source. And those are the things that are evident in people's lives that God is at work. Our confidence. We talked about it a few weeks ago. We're not to put confidence in the flesh. We're not to put confidence in all our achievements. Paul used to do that. He said, I was this, I was that. He names it all in Philippians 3. But he says, but I counted all loss for the sake of Christ. He only boasts in Christ. So our confidence is found in Him. Jesus says, come to me and drink. Who's thirsty? Come to me and drink. He says, those who believe in Scripture, John 7:37, those who believe in the Scriptures, out of them will flow rivers of living water. So we find life in the source. We find life in His presence. His presence is our source. Strength. What comes out of God's presence? Strength. David had some days where he was down. He messed up. He got defeated. But he says, I strengthened myself in the Lord. Psalm 105 verse 4 says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek the Lord and His strength. It says, seek His presence continually. This is where we find our strength. This is where we find direction, vision, clarity. It's not by might. It's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. His presence is to be our source. So am I growing in awareness of His manifest presence in my life? What does that look like? To be growing in awareness of His manifest presence in our lives. His presence is to be our one thing. Just like David, one thing that I have asked for, one thing have I asked for, one thing that I seek after, to dwell in the house of the Lord for all my days. That is so consuming. It's like, who's got time for that? All my days? But that's what the Lord wants. And it's not to burden us, but it's actually for us to walk in whatever He has in store for us. He loves all the good things in our lives. But as we put Him first, it says in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. That's it. What were you saying? Will be added unto you. All these things. God knows these things. But His presence is to be our one thing. What does that look like day to day? Part of it is prayer. Pray by yourself. We talked about it at the start of the year. Build a prayer life. Pray by yourself. Speak to your Heavenly Father. Listen to your Heavenly Father. Pray for others. Intercede. Pray together. As a church, we have our 9 a.m. encounter service on a Sunday where for 45 minutes we just come to pray together. In all our services, we just pray. Prem will tell you we could just pray all service. We do pre-service prayer. Once a month, we have prayer power at the Salvation Army on a Wednesday night. Prayer is just so central to being a people of God's presence. But it's the one thing that the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. They wanted to know how to pray. Friday's 12 o'clock in this room, on this very carpet right here, 12 to 1 p.m., we get to pray at our Friday prayer gathering. His presence is our priority. Getting into His Word, opening the Word personally, by yourself, studying Scripture, journaling, writing it down, memorizing Scripture. David says, I have hidden your Word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. What's hiding His Word in your heart? It's a memorizing the Scripture that stands out to you. And the Holy Spirit brings that to the surface when you need it. His presence is to be our one thing. It's getting down on your knees, humbling yourself. Lord, I'm not going to go into that meeting today. I'm not going to make that call until I've sought your face, until I've committed myself to you. Just getting down on your knees, whatever posture you need to take to show your dependence on God. It's seeking Him before you speak, being slow to speak and quick to listen. It's having intentional times of fasting where you say no to food, no to the flesh, so you can feed your spirit and seek the Lord. God has given us so many tools that we can use in engaging with His presence. Abide in me and I in you. He that has His Word abiding, His Word abiding in them, it is He that bears much fruit. As we get close to an end now, let's look at someone else who prioritized God's presence over everything. Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42. This is a favorite for many. Luke chapter 8. Where are you, Luke? See, in the story, Jesus is coming into a village and He goes to His friend's house, Martha and Mary, sisters to Lazarus. And in verse 38, it says this. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to this teaching, to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. His presence is to be our one thing. You see, Mary, like David, prioritized the one thing. She sat at Jesus' feet. She just wanted to hear His teaching. But Martha, like all of us, like how we can all end up and how we struggle at times, was distracted by many things. She was distracted by serving. She's wanting to serve the Lord. She's wanting to get things done. We all want to make things happen in our lives, make things happen for ourselves. But she missed the first thing. Jesus had something to say about what each one had prioritized. If I could get the band to come back up. Jesus had something to say about what each one of these ladies had prioritized. Verse 41 and verse 42. These are Jesus' words. He says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. I reckon He didn't even say it with that tone. You are anxious. Martha, Martha, you are anxious. You were troubled. And I reckon as He's speaking to her, she just started to calm down. The peace of the Lord just started to come on her. Because she'd gone to seek him. She went with her complaint. See, she knew where to take her complaint to. We might be distracted. We might be unhappy about something. But who do we run to? She went wanting to complain about so-and-so, but Jesus saw right into her situation and he said, "You are anxious and troubled about many things. You've missed it. You've welcomed me into your house, but you've gone to do other things. I'm right here. I am the source. Why are you trying to cook for me? Come to me." So he tells us she's distracted about many things. But he says one thing is necessary. And he says, Mary has chosen the good portion. Space for you. Have we chosen the one thing? There's an invitation from the Lord. It's always there. And 99% of us here have heard all these things so many times. But Jesus is so gracious. There's no condemnation. He just knows what he has for you. And he's just reminding us again, it's the one thing that is necessary, and everything else will flow from that. Can anyone relate with Martha? Being distracted by many things. People will say, "Steve, how come you haven't done this? How come you haven't done that?" I'm like, "There's so much going on." That's always my excuse. So much going on. But that doesn't have to consume. There's so much. What's supposed to consume us is the one thing. David says, "All my days, I want to be in his house." He hasn't called us to be monks. Good for monks to do what they do. But he hasn't called us to all just be seated with him for the whole year. He's called us to be vessels. But we need to be intentional about intimacy with him, acknowledging him in our day-to-day. "Lord, what are you saying right now to me? Lord, I know you're working where I am. What are you doing?" God's always at work, and he wants to partner. He wants you to partner with him in what he's doing. You might not be a pastor, you might not be a leader. That doesn't matter. Wherever you are, he's placed you there for a reason. But Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He's put you in that place, in that business, in that family, in that household, for him to be manifested out of you, for him to be made evident, for him to be glorified. So what was the difference between these two ladies? It was that statement that Jesus made, "But one thing is necessary." One took it, one didn't take it. One thing is necessary. How does his presence rate in your life? How does his presence rate in your life compared to everything else? How does it rate in your life compared to everything else? Because in Psalm 84 verse 10, it says, "For a day in your courts is better. A day in your courts is better than what? 1,000 elsewhere." It says, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Can we all stand this morning? Are you aware of the lover of your soul? Are you aware of how he wants to partner? partner with you, invite you into what He's doing, how He wants to do a work in your heart, how He wants to search your heart, His presence. Let's pray together.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.